God's people said, Amen. Give them another round of applause. We thank the Lord. As I was listening to that choir, I was remembering a book that I just finished. It's titled 90 Minutes in Heaven by Don Piper. And Don is a pastor that had an accident, a head-on collision. And for 90 minutes, he was dead. For 90 minutes, he spent some time in heaven and returned to write about it. It is an amazing story. After this head-on collision, he tells of his memory of what happened. He had a head-on collision with a truck. His body was totally mangled, and the ETMs arrived, and they looked at him. They took his pulse, and they pronounced him dead. They put a tarp over the car. Several other people had come through during that 90 minutes, checked him, said, he's dead, he's dead, he's dead. And they said it was a terrible, terrible accident with lots of blood and horrible, just a horrible picture. But one other pastor that happened to be at a retreat with him had come through, didn't know who it was that was in that car, but came and was in a traffic jam and stopped and walked up toward the car and talked to one of the police officers and said, sir, I have a heavy burden to pray for the man in that car. And he said, well, sir, the man's dead. We've checked him over and over. He is mangled, and you don't want to go near it because it's going to make you sick to see it. And he knew that impression was from the Lord, and he said, I had to pursue this. And so he insisted with the police officer. He said, I need to go pray with that man. And after an argument, the man finally got disgusted and said, well, go ahead, but I'm warning you, you're going to get sick. You're probably going to get nauseous. It's just an awful mess in there. And so the pastor went up, and he said, I knew it was God telling me to pray for the man. So he opened what little bit of a hatch was in the back of the car, climbed through, found the man who was in the front seat, all mangled and his head laying back and obviously dead, put his hand on him. The man was cold, but he began to pray. And as he prayed, he said he began to sob and weep and call on the name of the Lord. And he didn't know why he was praying. He really didn't expect the man to come back to life or anything. But he said, Lord, you told me to pray. So I'm praying. Lord, I'm calling on your name and I'm calling on you to be exalted. I'm calling on you to do whatever you want to do in this whole mess. And he just cried out to God. He said he kept praying and kept praying. And then finally a song came to his heart. And as he sang that song, he began to sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. I think that's what it was. And all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. While he's laying hands on this, the tarp's still over the car. This pastor's inside with another unknown pastor to him. He's laying his hand on him, and suddenly he hears another voice. And it's the man in the car who is singing along with him. What a friend we have in Jesus. I mean, it scares him half to death. He jumps out of the car, bangs his head, getting out, and he's running across to the medical professionals and saying, guys, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Remember last week? He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Well, he was doing that. He was saying, he's alive, he's alive. And they said, you're crazy, man. You're just a Pentecostal preacher. Calm down, he's dead. Everybody's checked him. He's been dead for 90 minutes. There's no way he's alive. And he said, please, I beg you, just go check him one more time. He sang with me. And everybody's looking at each other going, doo, 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 doo. Okay, let's humor him. Let's go over. And they went over and checked his pulse, and suddenly the medic screams, he's alive! He's alive! Get some help! And they brought help over. And long story of his recovery and the pain that was involved, but Don Piper tells of that picture of heaven when he was taken up. And he didn't get to go through the pearly gates, which he actually says were there, and he describes them in detail. But he says all the friends and relatives from bygone days that knew the Lord met him at the entranceway, and he said they were gleaming from the inside, just like these folks. The glow of the Lord from inside. He said some of them weren't very attractive in life. But he said, in death you knew it was the same person, but there was something inside that was radiating and shining forth in them. And then he said, and while we turned to go to the gates together, he said there was singing such as I've never heard. It's beyond description. He said it was like 1,000 heavenly choirs singing 1,000 different songs, and all of it blended together. And he says, as I approached the gates, I could hear the thunder of wings of angels. I couldn't see them, but they were overhead, and they just kept swooshing. Whoosh, whoosh. And the songs, and he said, I can't describe the immense joy that I felt in the presence of the Lord. And I wanted to join in with the choir, but I thought I'd ruin it. And then the Lord brought him back to life. And 90 minutes after being dead, he was very much alive and is alive today proclaiming the word. But I thought of that when I wanted to join with the choir. And I thought I'd spoil it, and Pastor Paul did. Did you sing, Paul? Paul was flat. And I could tell what he was doing. I knew he was just mouthing the words. He really wasn't singing at all, right? You were faking a little bit. Yeah, okay. So we appreciate the choir, and we appreciate the joy of the Lord that's our strength. And we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit this morning. And one of the fruits, they're all grouped together, but one of those identifying characteristics of a believer that's filled with the Holy Spirit and has the fruit of the Spirit is joy. The joy of the Lord as our strength. We're looking at Ephesians. Ephesians is a wonderful book written to the church at Ephesus, but it's written to all of us because all of us face the same problem. We have introduced the concept of the Holy Spirit in chapter 1. He gives us 10 spiritual blessings that are given to us in heavenly places. It's not something we do. It's something God did already for us in heavenly places. The last of those, he says, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. So we're taking that theme of the Holy Spirit and following it through Ephesians, because Paul talks often about the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we're taking this pause from our verse by verse and just jumping through the text and finding those references to the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the grieving of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the seal of the Holy Spirit, when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in. He dwells in you. That's the sign that you belong to Him. You are His child. He lives in you. And then the grieving of the Spirit. Sometimes we do things that saddens the Holy Spirit, and He grieves and He weeps over us, and there are consequences for grieving the Holy Spirit. And then we talked about the quickening of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God makes us alive. He takes dead things and brings them back to life, whether it be our bodies or whether it be our spirits or whatever we need. He quickens us. And then the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to go through fullness and gifts in other lessons. But this morning we want to look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. A very important doctrine of the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit is that He produces fruit in us. It does not say your fruit. It says His fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's something that the Holy Spirit does in us. It's not something we do. He receives all the glory. I got two passages I want to point to you this morning. First one is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9, and then I'm going to have you turn to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 16 to 26. We're going to look at that because in chapter 5 of Ephesians and verse 9, he introduces the thought of the fruit of the Spirit, but in Galatians he expands it so we have a fuller understanding. In Ephesians chapter 9, I'm reading from the New King James because the NIV, which is a nice translation for devotions, really messed it up. I mean, they took the word Spirit out of there. There's no reference to the Holy Spirit in that verse. And they also took the reference to the fruit, which is a Greek word, fruit, and they changed it to light. Now, go figure. Why? I don't know. Probably because the context referring to light, and they thought Paul didn't know what he was talking about, but he did. So in the New King James Version, for the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit is karpos and spirit is pneuma. You can look it up in the Greek. It is there. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and in truth. And in Galatians chapter 5, he magnifies that like a flower opening up. He lets us see all of that fruit that the Spirit of God works in us. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. There are 9 that he lists as fruits or a fruit of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't divide them up and say there's 9 separate. He calls them all one. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we're going to look at that in a few moments, but I wanted you to focus on these fruits for just a second. Next slide, please. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and faithfulness. Now I want you to take a moment and go through that. These are fruits that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the life of Christ in you, is to produce and wants to produce. It is Christ-likeness. Now I want you to walk through it on your own, in your own mind. I want you to take your marker and cross out the ones that you don't have. Don't come up here and do it. Just go through in your mind and look at it and say, well, am I a loving person? Am I a peaceful person? Am I a joyful person? Am I a patient person? And so on. All right. You crossed them out? If we've crossed any out, the Lord says these things should not be. Because when we cross one out, we put something in its place. It's called the old man, the old self, the degenerate nature of Adam's sinful and willfulness. We replace the fruit that God wants there with something else. Go through it again. Did you mark something off? Probably a better measurement for this is to have your spouse do it for you. Boy, that would be scary, wouldn't it? Oh, don't want to hear it. Don't want to get that grade point average. Or to have a best friend if you're in a choir. By the end of this 10 days, you're going to know each other. Some of you are going to fall in love with each other. But as you go through this, you're going to see some of the fruit or the lacking fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. There's three things I want to talk about today as we look at the fruit of the Spirit. First of all, there is a problem, then there is a presence, and then there is a person who brings about this fruit in our lives. We look, first of all, at there is a problem with the fruit. There is a problem with the fruit. Paul tells us there's a battle going on. There's a spiritual battle. The Holy Spirit wrestles against our old fleshly nature. All of us are made of Adam's race. All of us come from the same seed. Adam sinned and his sinful nature passes on to every one of us. You can scream about it. You can pick at the gates of heaven, but it's not going to change. You've got an old nature and you're stuck with it. If you have a body, and everybody with a body, lift your hands. Some of you have more body than the rest of us. Put them down. But you got a body. In that body is the old sin nature. It's stuck. And if you don't put perfume on, it smells. That's part of the fallen creation. You're stuck with it. You're going to be with it. But God has given us the Holy Spirit as the seal of our inheritance. What we're going to get in heaven is a new body. We're going to get a new nature. The old is going to be passed away. The new is going to come in all of its fullness. And God wants to be glorified now. And so, despite the fact that you have an old nature, He has given you His Holy Spirit to replace and to overcome and wrestle with that old nature and win the battle. You see, there is a battle that's raging, and that is a problem with our spiritual fruit because sometimes the fruit is ruined. I like bananas, and when Marilyn goes to the store, she usually brings home a batch of bananas. And because there's only two of us, she doesn't buy too many because after a few days, if we don't eat them, they start to turn funny colors. You know what a banana looks like? Usually they pick them really green down in Honduras or someplace and ship them up here. And then they sit on the shelf and they start to yellow. And after they yellow, they start to get these little spots. And after a while, those little spots become blotches and the blotches take over the whole thing. And after about a week, I approach the fruit basket and I see that banana. And it is spotted all over and it's got these great big dark spots on it. And if it happens to be summer, it's got some fruit flies flying around it too. And I pick that thing up, and it's kind of mushy. It's no longer solid. And so, because I don't use a knife, I'll take my mouth, and I'll bite the end off and open it up. And I start to peel that thing back. What do I see? You know what I'm seeing. I'm seeing, I'm smelling, and I don't like what I see. I see a banana that is rotten. It's got bruises all over it. It's almost lost complete solidness. It's a mush. And those little flies, if you leave them there, pretty soon you're going to get maggots all over it. And it smells funny, and I take it, and I put that thing right in my mouth. I love bananas. You know you're not going to do that. When I don't even touch the thing if it's like that. I say, Marilyn, please help me. Take it out. It's alive. It's got green fuzz on it. Oh! And you look at that, and you're not pleased with it. And the Lord looks at our lives, and if we don't have the fruit of Jesus there, the fresh, delightful fruit of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit produces in us, then it makes them sick. And that's why He told the church of Laodicea, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. It's disgusting. God says, I didn't create you to be bruised and battered and beaten and rotten fruit. I created you to be fresh and delightful as Jesus is. So the problem is the battle that's going on. Let me read you the verses that say that. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15, he tells us of the battle within. So he says, if you live in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. You see, there's a tug of war. There's a wrestling match going on. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You see, the problem is most of us start looking at fruits of the Spirit and say, okay, I need to discipline myself to do more stuff. And we bring out the list of all the commandments the Lord gives us and we tack them up on the refrigerator and we say, I got to do this. You know, I got to be patient with my wife and so I'm going to listen instead of talking back. Or the wife says, you know, I'm going to do this and she's got to listen. She's trying real hard to meet the list. Doing your to-do list is not the fruit of the Spirit. God never intended that list of wonderful characteristics of Christ to be deeds that we do, activities that we participate in, and achievements that we strive for. He has never intended that we should see the list and say, well, I'm going to try to be more loving today. Instead of looking at my wife in the morning and going, ugh, I'm going to go up and I'm going to kiss her. Bad breath and all. No. The real love that comes from within is the fruit. And that fruit comes forward naturally. And it's fresh and it's wonderful. But the problem is, so often we're allowing the struggle to be defeated. And the Spirit of God is grieved because we don't yield to Him. And Paul says, if you're led by the Spirit, that is, if you yield to Him, you surrender to Him in that struggle and say, Lord, I can't win this battle. I need You to do it. Then the Holy Spirit takes over and gives victory in that area. Then he goes on with this battle and he says, the works of the flesh of this battle, when the selfish desires and the old sinful nature take root, then here's what's going to happen. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies and the like. He lists all of these things and says, these are old nature stuff. This is the old man that you were before Christ. Why are you letting this be the fruit in your life? It's spoiled fruit. And I warn you that if you did these things, and those that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, there's a problem. If our lives are filled with any of these things, something on the fruit list has been replaced by something rotten. And God is not pleased. You see, God wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit. He wants God's Spirit to have freedom, to change us. It's not about us changing ourselves. Not about us pulling ourselves up with our bootstraps and trying to be better people. Not about self-effort. It's about resting in the Lord and allowing His Holy Spirit to do what He came to do. You see, the problem is there's a battle going on and we keep yielding to the enemy. Paul goes on to say, if you're really born again, then you have said no to the old selfish desires and you say yes to Christ. See, there are many Christians that believe that the fruit is something we produce. And it's not. The fruit is something God produces through Christ by means of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. See, it's about a relationship. Fruit's about letting Christ live in your life. The fruit is about you received Jesus as your Savior and the Holy Spirit came into you. He came into you so He could be with you forever and that He could bring about these changes in your life. We have a problem with this because many of us think we're going to change and we're going to improve and we're going to better ourselves. And so we try real hard to resist the old nature and its evil urgings. We resist the devil, but we fail. And I want you to know that the Spirit of God will not take control of those issues in your life unless you surrender them. See, every work of the flesh, every work of the old nature is a work that God wants to eradicate. He wants to eradicate it. He doesn't ask you to do it. He just asks you to lay it down as though it's dead and say, let go and let God. But most of us want to hang on to these things. We're trying so hard and we're not getting through. Pastor Dave, if you're in here, we need to turn the air on. It's getting hot up here. Isn't it getting hot up here? Say amen. Yeah, it's really hot. So, Pastor Dave, where are you? Please turn the heat off, on, something. Thank you. The Spirit of God will not take away your fleshly desires. The Spirit of God will not take away your lustful thoughts. The Spirit of God will not take away your alcoholism. The Spirit of God will not take away your mean nature until you surrender it to Him. See, I have met many Christians that say, Pastor, I'm struggling with a sin and I've sinned over and over and over again, and I just want God to take it away. And God says, then let go. Stop trying so hard. Stop trying to do it in the flesh and meaning well and trying hard not to do it anymore and simply say, God, I can't control my lustful desire. Lord, I can't control my activities of stealing. I can't control my tongue. I'm a people basher and I say things I shouldn't. God's waiting for you to turn it over to Him and say, I can't. Therefore, you must. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit begins to take those things and erase them. He brings them under control, not you. By His Spirit, He does so. There's an old reference in Dave Wilkerson's book, The Cross and the Switchblade. Many years ago, he wrote about the drug addicts that he was working with on the streets. And they had an expression for the addictions that they had. They called it a monkey on their back. A monkey on their back. And many of you don't identify with that. Perhaps you're familiar with a song by Aerosmith, written by lead singer Steven Tyler and lead guitarist Joe Perry. And I want to read the words to their song to you because it identifies a man who's struggling so hard with the monkey on his back. Woe is me, well, I've been dying. Got to get that monkey off my back. The fortune teller looked into my eyeballs. The wrinkles on her face were about to crack. She said, you must believe it. You ain't going nowhere unless you get that monkey off your back. Well, I made believe the devil made me do it. I was the evil leader of the pack. You best believe I had it all, and then I blew it. Feeding that nasty monkey on my back. Ah, if you'd put it in a spoon, man, I'd boot it. Some king whose mental house was just a shack. Where do you draw the line when all your friends are dying? Got to get that monkey off your back. Your crystal ball is where you chase the dragon. She said, bring me home this head in a sack. But now you find your crystal ball's a dragon. Got to get that monkey off your back. That monkey on your back represents the sin that so easily besets you. It's identified by Dave Wilkerson in his book many years ago that addicts on the street realized that at some point in time they gave in to that monkey. Oh, it was a cute monkey. They picked it up and put it on their back. It might have been some kind of alcohol or drug abuse, but they put it on their back. And after a while, they kept giving it bananas. And they thought, that's so cute. Look at him. He just eats the banana. He's having a great time, and he does all his antics and makes me laugh and feel good. But soon they realize every time they give him a banana, he wants more. And pretty soon, everything that you put in your hands, every bit of food, he's scrapping it up and he's eating it and he's growing. He's getting better, bigger. And before you know it, it's not a monkey on your back anymore. It's a gorilla and he's heavier than you are and he's suffocating the life out of you. I got to get that monkey off my back. My friend, God says that's the problem with your fruit and your spiritual life. You got a monkey on your back and you keep feeding it. Doesn't matter what the sin is. If it's the sin of gossip and you keep feeding it, it's going to take over. If it's the sin of lying and you keep feeding it, it's going to control you. If it's the sin of lust or some sexual desire or some sexual activity, the more you do it, the more it's going to control you and you can't be set free. You say, Jesus didn't come to say, hey folks, get your act cleaned up. He said, come to me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because it's easy. Just let me do it in you. You see, the monkey's on your back, but the problem is you're not letting it off. You're not letting go. You're not calling on the Lord to deliver you. Dave Wilkerson expressed it so well in an interview concerning those addicts that are still coming to his center in New York City. 40 young people a day are coming through that to cold turkey. And they found they've gone through all of the public deliverance mechanisms, all the medicines and all the psychology, and nothing helps. They come to Dave Wilkerson's house, and Dave shuts him up in a room and says, call upon the name of the Lord. He says, call upon the Lord and let the Holy Spirit come down and deliver you. The Lord will do it if you call on Him. Stop all the other nonsense. Stop the psychology. Stop the medicines and seek the Lord with all of your heart. And God will take the monkey off your back. In a recent interview, one of those people that had that monkey on their back came to Dave Wilkerson's clinic, his house of refuge, and he says, I've tried everywhere else, and I vomited, I had diarrhea, and I twitched all over for days, and I couldn't eat, and I couldn't sleep when I was going cold turkey in any other place. But when I came to this house, where they told me to call upon the name of the Lord, I ate for 2 days, but I ate 3 full meals, and I wasn't sick anymore because someone delivered me. There's too much self-deliverance going on in the church. Well, we're trying hard and we're losing the battle because we don't know the secret of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is Jesus living in me. And I give Him everything. I give Him my propensity towards sin. I give Him the sin that easily besets me. And I cry out and call on His name. The second thing we see is not just the problem, but the presence. There is a presence given to every believer. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've asked His forgiveness of sins, that moment that you were saved, He sealed you with the Holy Spirit. He gave you His Spirit. That is a sign and a promise that when you get to heaven, He's going to give you all the other things. But the seal of the Holy Spirit is in you. And Jesus talked about it in John chapter 14. And He said it this way, I will ask the Father and He will give you another Counselor, Comforter, that He may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him. For He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. You see, Jesus has promised a presence with us of the Holy Spirit that the Bible calls the Paraclete in Greek, which means the one who's called alongside to help you. King James calls it the Comforter. And I thought that was weird when I was growing up. And I actually had a comforter to bring in here and put around my shoulders. But it's too hot, so I left it home. But I want you to imagine, take a comforter. Oh, I love comforters. When we were little, Mom would never let us take a nap without a comforter. Didn't matter, summer, winter, she'd always take a little blanket and put it over top of us when we slept. And God has given you a comforter to wrap you up and to hold you close, and that is the Holy Spirit. And He says, I'm never going to leave you and never going to forsake you. You can forsake me, but I'm not going to forsake you. That comforter is given to you as your helper. And Jesus said, I will help you. I will deliver you. I will produce fruit in you if you lean on me. He has given you the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can be that comfort to you. Look at Galatians 5, 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit, not your fruit, not your actions, not your righteousness, but the fruit of God's Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the old sinful nature. That is, they've said, no, I'm not going to be controlled by the monkey on my back. I'm going to give it to Jesus. I'm going to take it to Him 100 times a day if I need to. And I crucify it with the passions and desires. For if we live by the Spirit, let us keep step or march orderly with the Holy Spirit. You see, what Paul is talking about as fruit of the Spirit is Christ likeness. It's letting Jesus live His presence out in your life. Stop stepping on His toes. Stop saying yes to sin. Every one of us has a will. You are given a will to say yes or no. It's a choice that we make. If you say yes to Jesus instead of yes to sin, the power of the Holy Spirit will bring forth fruit instead of frustration. The last thing I want to show you is that there is not only a presence, but there is a person who is our deliverer. And that is Jesus. Jesus is our deliverer. In John chapter 15, Jesus talked about this, about the relationship with Christ. He said, I am the vine, you the branches. You know why that banana goes bad on my shelf? Because it's detached from the vine. Somebody broke it off. It's no longer getting nourishment. It's separated from its mother plant. And Jesus said, you need to be attached to your mother or your father in heaven, rather, that you would have life from Him. Keep connected to Jesus. And as you're connected, you'll bear much fruit. Get disconnected, break off the vine, and you won't have any fruit. Let me read it to you. John chapter 15, verses 4 to 8. Remain in me, as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit of itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If any man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. And if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You see, the fruit that we have comes from our relationship with Christ, with Jesus. The closer we are to Him, the more attached we are to Him, the more we show His presence in our lives. If I look over the congregation this morning and see somebody that's suntanned, I look at them and I note and I say, ha, they've been to North Carolina or they've been to Florida. It shows up because they've been close to the sun. And those people that are close to Jesus, the disciples were, and those persecutors that came against them took note that they've been with Jesus. Jesus rubbed off on them. The closer we are to the Lord, the more He rubs off on us. I want to give you a phenomenal truth, and that is that people begin to look like their dogs. Now that sounds silly, doesn't it? People begin to look like their dogs. Show me the next slide. There we go. People actually do begin to look like their dogs. Now, haven't you noticed that? Haven't you noticed that people love their dogs so much, and the more they love them, the more time they spend together, they begin to look almost exactly alike. These six people won the trophy last year for looking most like their dog. Now, I wouldn't want to win that trophy. That's not something to aspire to. But there is a truth in that that needs to be emphasized. And that is, when you spend time with somebody, you begin to look like them. Have you ever seen anybody that's been married for 70 years? They start to look like each other. They sound like each other. They're like attached, and one can't live without the other. How often one of them dies, and very quickly the other one dies. Why? Because there's a vine and a branch attachment. Jesus wants us to be so attached to Him, we start to look like Him. His righteousness rubs off on us. His character is what we have in our lives. The greatest privilege that any of us can have as a Christian is for somebody to come up to us and say, you are more like Christ than anybody I've ever met. That ought to be everybody's aspiration, not to receive the praise, but that God might be glorified. For as you remain in the vine, as you're close to the Master, you become like Him, and other people note it. And praise God, when they note it, then you know that you've got the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. The point for all of us is we need to stop trying so hard with list of to-dos and commands and start building the relationship with Christ. He dwells in you, but He wants to fellowship with you. And I'm not talking about just having daily devotions. I'm talking about an intimate fellowship with Jesus that's moment by moment, hour by hour, so that you're never away from His presence. And we walk like that, our whole character will start to look like Jesus. I want to challenge you. These next two weekends, we have provided two prayer retreats, quiet prayer retreats. Not to be afraid of, we don't force you into a situation of praying with other people, or we're not doing gymnastics. What we're doing is we're coaching you to get alone with your Savior, giving you some tools to process as you're alone with Him, that your fellowship might be sweet. You grow in that intimate relationship with Christ, and as you do that, your life will change. The presence of Jesus will be in you. There's a wonderful old song, an old, I guess you'd call it a hymn, but it's an old song that used to be sung. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All His wonderful passion and purity. Oh, Thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine till the beauty of Jesus is seen in me. Jesus wants to live His life fully in you. He wants all of His character, all of His personality, all of His godliness to be the fruit in your life. It's not something you can attain without Him. Without Him, you can do what? Nothing. Zero. Nada. Neca. Absolutely nothing is accomplished by striving. It's simply by resting and saying, Lord, I can't deal with this problem of my sin. I turn it over to You, and I call on Your name, and He will deliver, and He will bring forth fruit in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we stand in Your presence today, we realize that much of Christianity around us is artificial. It's people changing external behaviors while inside is filthy and full of ugliness and rotten fruit. Lord, we don't want to be good on the outside and rotten on the inside. We want Your fruit to grow up within us with sweetness of Christ from the inside out, that we might radiate the presence and the glory of Jesus. I pray for that this morning, Lord. The people that are here under the sound of this preaching might take seriously the word of Christ, that You desire to bring forth this fruit in their life. I pray if there's anyone here struggling with a particular sin, and certainly there are many, I pray that we would be able to let go and let God and call upon Your name and find that You deliver us. We don't deliver ourselves. And ask You to bring forth fruit that will last for all eternity. For what You do, we'll give You praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.